Welcome to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers, newbies, and veterans, and everyone in between. We're hosted by M.A. Lee with the assistance of Remy Black and Edie Rooms, all from Writers Inc. Books. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. Each episode lasts as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, grab a short commute, or take a brisk walk. Resources and links are in the show notes. Visit us at therightfocus.blogspot.com. Now, on to this week's episode. Writers read. And in reading, we are voracious consumers of anything that catches our eye. We may also be hoarders, little dragons perched on a keep forever book stack, surrounded by a myriad of smaller to-be-read stacks. This stack first, this stack second, this later. Helpful stuff to get to. I wanna, but not now. Maybe later. I dunno. And more. When we climb down from our hoard, we may stop and investigate those to-be-read stacks and do a little reorganizing and find unexpected gems, not necessarily glittered with gold, but certainly sparkly and eye-catching with value we did not recognize originally. We place these unexpected gems in a side pile of the main book hoard, things I'll read again slower and with more intent. We call that stack. Long before The Right Focus started planning this Defeat Writer's Block series, I stumbled on an unexpected gem in one of my TBR stacks, the Helpful Stuff stack. The book is The 29 Most Common Writing Mistakes and How to Avoid Them by Judy Delton, an offering in the mid-80s from Writer's Digest Books. This book was a gift, and I loyally kept it, always intending to peruse it. It eventually went into a TBR stack, though. It came along through two major moves, still barely opened. It was small and light, easy to transport and to squeeze onto a shelf or into a box. When I opened it a few months back with vague ideas for upcoming episodes for the podcast, I didn't expect to find anything. I found a lot. Totally more than I expected in my ignorance when first I added it to the Helpful TBR stack. This little book was one of the first I reached for when looking for advice from pro writers on defeating writer's block. So, our first question is, who is Judy Delton? As an authority, we need someone with multiple publications, not one or five or ten and done. Having many books published speaks to perseverance and consistency, diligence and discipline, and most importantly, battles with the monster of writer's block. Who is Judy Delton? Penguin Random House tells us that she is the author of more than 100 books for young readers, fun fictional stories, often with animals. These books are still in her catalog, even though she died several years ago. She received several book awards, including the Notable Book Award from the American Library Association. Writing prolifically, according to Bookology magazine, was her way of supporting her family, and for many years, she taught writing classes in her home. Publishing over 100 titles, award-winning, teacher of other writers. Her book, 29 Most Common Writing Mistakes, offered as a Writer's Digest Basic Bookshelf. That's four ways she serves as an authority. Now let's see what she says about writer's block and mine the jewels from her words. Right off the bat, in her list of 29, number one is don't procrastinate. Oh, we've talked about this before multiple times. It's writer's block number two, and we've discussed its two main types and how to overcome them. Earl Stanley Gardner had notes against it. We can find multiple sources on the internet. What exactly does Judy Delton say? She begins with the excuses everyone gives. Let's quote her. When I am at any kind of gathering where I meet new people, or when I am mingling at a dinner party after one of my lectures, at least one of the people I meet inevitably says, "Oh, I could write too, if only I had the time. Maybe someday after my daughter starts school, or my son gets married, or my..." Here her voice trails off into more apologies, enough to keep her from writing for a lifetime. Others say, "I have an aunt who writes. She is really good too, but she never got anything published because she had more important things to do. She ran for councilwoman in the 3rd district," are the most common excuse. "Someday I'm going to write a book. Why, the things I could write about. I keep them in this little notebook, and someday I'm gonna title one of my books with that very phrase." All of those well-meaning "someday I'm gonna" people somehow never do get around to writing that book because they are procrastinators. I don't know why more people procrastinate about writing than anything else, but they seem to. Perhaps because it would be so much fun to have written a book, but so hard to actually do it. Other people manage to get started, but they never finish. After a few lines or pages, they tear up their work and begin something entirely different. Or they jump from idea to idea without completing any of them. Oh, Dalton's pegged a key problem here for new writers. Jumping from idea to idea without finishing. This, starting but never finishing. Oh, that's fatal to a writer. New writers say or post about this all the time. "I had such energy when I started, but now I've lost interest." Or, "This new idea is so much more interesting." Or, "I've started 5 novels. How should I publish them?" Let's answer that last question first. Don't worry about publishing until you finish one of those manuscripts. How many times has the right focus reminded us that we learn so much about our writing when we carry a story start to finish? Then we learn more as we revise and proofread. If those stories are all connected, finish the 2nd and 3rd manuscript while you research publishing. Yes, you need to research. Publishing changes all the time, and advice from 2 years ago is going to be out of date. Also, with connected titles, a later story can lead to changes in the 1st 2. Get the connected ideas solidly set and ended before moving into publishing the 1st book. And write the 4th while you schedule publication of the 1st 3. Judy Dalton also says this about procrastination. Another reason why people procrastinate about writing may be that they have never really made a commitment. They have never chosen writing as a priority in their life. They sit down to write something and are blown away by the first wind that sweeps through the room. An appliance needs repair. Dinner has to be cooked. The grass needs cutting. The dog has to go to the vet for a shot. All these things are priorities to many of the writers I know. Families are high on the priority list. From almost the first episode of The Right Focus, and certainly the 1st season, we here have prodded and poked at writers to have a devotion to write, and Dalton says it as well. Here's how Dalton made the transition to writing. "I gave up the cooking, cleaning, mending and gardening that I had done with such zest. I channeled all of that effort into my writing. Till then, I had picked and frozen strawberries, canned vegetables, and waited on my children. I decided it was time for a change. I remember the day I told the kids I was going to write for the rest of my life and earn enough money to support us, instead of going to work in a bank as my mother had suggested. I told them they would have to keep house. And they have ever since. They've also learned to cook ever since the day I took the frozen chicken out of the freezer and handed it to my 12-year-old daughter, herself a published book author now. She said, "What do I do with it?" I said, "You have to cook it." She said, "It's too hard." I said, "It won't be if you wait a while or run water over it." That was the end of my procrastination and the beginning of my writing career. I set up the card table in the living room and acted as a hub, but not a worker, in the traffic around me. I was still at home. I knew what was going on, but my main occupation was now a writer. All the effort I had put into the PTA and cooking and cleaning now went on paper. She also reminds us that even if changing priorities is for the best, you have to be ready to do it, like dieting, at the evolutionary point in your life where it is important enough to you. And of course, you run the risk of it never being the right time if you wait too long. Delton also says, writing is an active occupation, not a passive one. Inspiration often comes while you are working, not always in advance. Give inspiration a chance. How many times have we at The Right Focus said, writers don't wait on inspiration, inspiration waits on us. Just start writing, and the words will come. You may have to kick out a few words or revise them, but start the flow, and the good ideas will arrive. What else can Delton tell us about defeating writer's block? That first point contained the heart of the secret. Her second item in her advice is just as important. Do not make the mistake, she tells us, of talking away our stories before writing them. Delton is not worried about someone stealing the idea and your plans for it. First of all, ideas cannot be stolen, although your plans for it can be. Nope, Delton is more concerned with how costly this mistake is to our writing life. Sharing ideas is all well and good, but we may have just sucked away all the interest that we had in that idea. Let's see what she says. It is fun to talk about ideas. So much fun that it becomes a favorite pastime of writers when they meet. "I've got this great idea for a novel," author A says to author B. "Just listen to this. It's all about this girl who wants to commit suicide, and it's set in Alaska, and she's got this cousin from..." They order more coffee, and before long, hours have gone by. Hours when some of the story could have been written. But now it may never be written at all, because author A has got it out of her system and seen reaction and praise and has no real need to actually write it. Delton here is basically speaking against those writing circles and the critique groups that give us ideas and help us work things out. She has an example as her proof. I once had a very good writer friend. She had ideas. She made me think. She generated stories. And we spent many hours every day talking writing. I believed that she was the best thing that ever happened to me. She helped me find stories and things I would never have seen without her help. Hear the past tense in that? I believed. She helped me find. I didn't know, and still don't know, many writers who can do that. But I worried that someday we would part for whatever reason. And what would I do? How would I get along without this person to brainstorm with? There was no doubt that the friendship and talk was a good thing, and that it made us grow as writers. But when she actually did move away, I would never have believed the result. My lack of communication with an idea person, a writer, must have driven me to the typewriter. I did not realize it at the time how little I had been producing. How little I had been producing, she says. What few hours I spent at the typewriter, and how many hours we sat in restaurants talking. When she left, I must have communicated with my typewriter and worked out my ideas on paper, because since I have not been with her, talking my life away, I have produced 6 books, 3 of them in a new genre, and I have not suffered from the writer's block that I knew frequently in those past years. Brainstorming with a writing colleague is good, Delton tells us, but it also is problematic. It's limiting to us, and if we are devoted to our writing, turning those ideas into pages and scenes and chapters, the talking takes us away from that. Delton shocked me with this question to herself. How would I get along without this person to brainstorm with? We never know how circumstances can change. We just cannot anticipate that. Delton realized this writing, it's on her. She needed to learn to develop great ideas on her own. Those sessions with her friend had obviously taught her brain to develop ideas, because when her friend did move away, her output increased, partly because she was no longer talking, but more because her brain was activating on its own. This comment of hers is given in parentheses in the book, like an aside, but it's actually crucial. I did not realize at the time, Delton said, how little I had been producing, what few hours I spent at the typewriter, and how many hours we sat in restaurants talking. When I decided to become serious about writing over a decade ago, my previous writing had been merely fiddle-faddling around. Anyway, when I personally became serious, I joined a local writing group, local in that the drive to the monthly meeting was only about 45 minutes away. The previous writing group I had belonged to had been 2.5 hours away. The drive to the weekly critique group that was part of that local group was 30 minutes away and on a weeknight. At the time, I had an intense job that daily consumed over 10 hours of my time, and many times more than that. Weeknights were hard for me, but I made the effort, and I enjoyed the 2+ hours with fellow writers. But after a season that 3 hours or more once a week, and then nearly 4 hours once a month, began to take a toll in mental fatigue, and my writing suffered. So I stopped attending, and my output increased, and more writing began to be completed. Isn't that the key? To this day, I advise a connection with a group of devoted writers, people who are actively pursuing publishing. I currently belong to such a group, and I am pleased with the time investment, once a month, with 1 month December off. I never sought out another critique group, primarily because the time required was too much. I didn't think about how I would lose ideas because I lost interest in the story I had related to the critique group. Like Delton, I learned to depend on myself for ideas. They are there in our brains, stuck deep. We just have to dig for them. From somewhere I encountered years upon years ago, so long ago I have transferred it through 6 writing notebooks, I encountered what's called Wilhelm's Law of Ideas. Kate Wilhelm is a speculative fiction writer who, with her husband Damon Knight, taught at the Clarion Writers Workshop from its very beginning for like 27 or 30 years. I have her writing book, Storyteller, on order and will scour it as soon as it arrives. So, Wilhelm's Law of Ideas, through 6 iterations in my writing notebooks, is this boiled down. Don't take the first idea or the second idea you have. Don't take the third. Take the fourth or the fifth. What's the mindset behind this? Well, the first and second idea? Everyone has thought of those. They're common, pedestrian. And one of the things that we have to do is surprise and intrigue our readers. What about the third one? Surely that's far enough for us to think. Well, a few clever and off-the-wall thinkers will have thought of that third one. They will be expecting that. For example, whether the event, a red herring, or character type or murder weapon, or for fantasy, spellcraft, or a monstrous interjection in the story, or a strange event, or for science fiction, technological advancement, or for romance, a meet-cute, or a couple's disagreement, or a family intervention, or, well, I think you get the idea. Take the fourth idea. I have a note underneath this about Wilhelm's Law. The thing about a group, if someone has a really original idea, they might not share it. Or they'll share it, and quite a number of people will glom onto it. A lot of people are now turning to artificial intelligence for brainstorming purposes, for ideas. But artificial intelligence can't brainstorm new ideas. It can only fetch from its massive server examples of what's been done before. You weren't expecting AI to be creative, were you? I want to hit a third bit of Delton's advice. Here it is. A huge block for writers, and it's also her number 3. I promise, we're not marching 1 to 29 through her book. Number 3 is, don't try to write the best story in the world. Don't be afraid to fail. I can remember early days in my early teens when I first decided I would be a writer. I would start a story, then tear up the paper 3 or 4 lines down onto it because my handwriting was bad or word was wrong. That's an extreme example of trying to write the best story ever. Today, I scratch my ideas out, worrying less about penmanship and more about not being able to read my handwriting, which can be a problem. As I sketch, I circle the not quite right words and continue on fast as I can to get the ideas for that scene down. Misspellings, grammar errors, an idea that's not quite right and needs to be refined, all of those I ignore. I might put a star, I might put an exclamation mark, I might put a note out to the side, twist this, but I'm working in the rough form, a draft form, not the final manuscript before publication. I worry about misspellings and grammar errors and things of that sort as I revise. I worry about grammar errors and misspellings in proofreading enough that I have multiple passes through my manuscript. Getting the ideas down, the progress of the story, first to last, that is the most important thing when I first begin to write. But it took many years to train myself to that point. Delton says this, every beginning writer has what she calls a worship of the written word, a sort of perfectionist complex. When she would conduct writing classes, one of the first things she had her students do was to write down what they had eaten for breakfast. I quote, "There are surprise looks." "But that isn't writing," exclaimed one woman. "Of course it is," I replied. "It is definitely writing." So they all went eagerly to work. They had no idea writing was this easy. They went from listing bacon and eggs to telling how things tasted, and even the ones who only had coffee wanted to say why. I couldn't stop them once they started. After 10 minutes, one woman raised her hand and asked if she could go on and write what she had had for lunch. Another woman wanted to tell me on paper about her dinner party last week, and another a new restaurant near her house. Try that. If your expectations for yourself are too great, there are always breakfast, lunch, and dinner to write about. That is certainly a way to break the fear of writing into shards of glass, isn't it? The key to this advice? Don't be afraid to fail. When we're driven to write, it's not just about getting the words down, it's telling a story that we might be afraid to share. But we have to have something before we can revise it, improve it, refine it, and try to achieve a story that we do want to share. And that's the goal of any writing, to communicate, no matter our topic. We'll have more from Judy Delton in the next part. The Right Focus turns its lens on every writer's secret monster, writer's block. We say the mantra writer's block doesn't exist, but something more than simple disruptions and distractions can interfere with our writing, creating insurmountable walls. The Right Focus, in the series Defeat Writer's Block, analyzes the three most common types of writer's block and offers solutions to overcome and defeat this monster looming over the writer's desk. The best solution, though, is Leo Tolstoy's mantra, no days without lines, nulla dies sine linea. Make that your own mantra. Information for this series comes from host M.A. Lee's guidebook, Think Like a Pro, a new advent for writers, showcasing 7 lessons to change your perspective from hobby writer to pro writer. See the show notes for links. Thanks for listening to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, hosted by M.A. Lee from Writers Inc. Books, assisted by Remy Black and Edie Runes. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. Music is licensed through Audio Jungle, called Background Music Loop. Its creator is Alexander Polishchuk, known on Audio Jungle as Plastic 3. The music comes in different iterations. Show notes and resource links for this and other episodes can be found at therightfocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at linkbooks@aol.com when you have questions, comments, and speculations. We will try to answer you as quickly as possible. By the way, we will not mine your email address. That's rude. If you find value in our content, share with your writing friends or write a review. We're small beans here without the advertising budget of the big peeps, and you can make a difference. And whatever occurs, write on.